Welcome to Living Water Talk Radio, a production of Living Water International, a Christian service organization. Our mission is to help people improve their lives and share and discuss current events from a Christian perspective. Living Water Talk Radio is supported by your tax-deductible donations. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Please visit us on our website at www.livingh20.com and on Facebook.
Good morning. This is Chaplain Charlene Andrews, your host today on Bible Book Club, a Bible reading and prayer ministry where we encourage you to read the Bible in 1 year with us. The title of today's message is The Religious Leaders Confronted Jesus. Why did they do that? What was up with them? Well, what happened in Luke 20? We're reading the Bible from the beginning to the end. We start in January and we end in December 31st. And we read one Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. We encourage you to follow us on the Bible Book Club. You can request to be in that room in Facebook. In my Facebook, and you can read along with us. I try to post it every day, if possible, and I'm being faithful. Amen. So in Luke 20, when Jesus preached the good news in the temple, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, before it was destroyed, the chief priests and the other religious leaders and councilmen demanded to know by what authority Jesus had driven out the merchants from the temple. And I'm pretty sure you heard that story. Jesus went into the temple and he saw them buying and selling in the temple. And he was so angry that he took a whip and sent the merchants out of that temple. And so this is why they were angry. And they asked him that. I'll ask you a question before I answer you. Because they said to him, by what authority that Jesus had driven the merchants out of the temple? And he said, first I'll ask you a question. He replied, was John sent by God? Or was he merely acting under his own authority? They talked it over among themselves, the leaders did, and they said, figure him out, you know, what he was going to say. If they said something, he would say something. Okay. If we say his message was from heaven, then we are trapped because he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say John was not from God, not sent from God, John the Baptist was not sent from God, the people will mob us, for they are convinced that John really was a prophet. Finally, they replied, we don't know. And Jesus responded, then I will not answer your question either. And then he told the people the story. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to some farmers and went away to a distant land to live for several years. And when the harvest time came, he sent one of his own men to the farm to collect his share of the crops three times. Three times he did that. But three times when the tenants saw them, the people who came to get the money or the product, they beat him up. They beat them up and sent them back empty-handed. Three times they did that. Three times the owner sent somebody, and three times they beat them up and sent them back to their master. What shall I do? The owner asked himself. I know. I'll send my only son, my cherished son, But when the tenant saw his son, they said to themselves, finally, this is our chance. Let's kill him, and then the land will become ours. And so they killed the son. What do you think the owner will do? I'll tell you. He will come and kill them and rent the vineyard to others. Now, what's the meaning of this story? God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, right? And he chose Moses and his people to be the one, the group of people that he would share himself with. And so that's what he did. He wanted Moses and his people to serve him and to honor him and recognize him as their savior. Why did he do that? Because these people were the lineage and they kept the rules even from the days of Adam and Eve. So he found this group of people that were honoring him, but they really didn't know him that well. Moses, of course, gave them the scriptures. He taught them, but little by little, maybe they got watered down, like some of the Christian churches now. They water everything down. They don't want to say church. They don't want to say Jesus. They don't want to be confrontational. They want everybody to be included without giving the message. So they watered it down. And these people, little by little, they took that book of the law, that was the law given to Moses, and they started pushing that on their people and forcing them to obey the rules that was in that law. And the law was put there not to hurt people, but to show people how holy God is and what he's going to expect from us, his people. But at first, he only went to the Jews. But when Jesus came, he confronted them for their errors. They were abusing the people. They were making them pay money. They were using the temple to sell things. And they, little by little, it was more like a business rather than a ministry. And really, the ministry doesn't belong to anybody. The ministry belongs to God. He picks and chooses who is going to minister in his kingdom. Okay, so they ended up killing his only son. Who was his only son? The owner was God, and his only son was Jesus. And he was prophesying that they would kill him because he was there in the temple trying to show them, hey, my house is holy, and they rejected it. Not the general people, but the leader of the church rejected it. So he gave them a story, like a fable, in order to get his meaning across. Friends, Jesus was the son who came to save the Jews, and he did. He gave them so they got saved under Jesus' ministry was the Jews. But the leaders had him killed. They didn't like it. The leaders didn't like that Jesus was preaching about serving God and going past the law and looking at the love of God. And then God allowed the Jews and the Gentiles receive salvation through Christ's death on the cross. So what did God do? He said, well, the Jews are rejecting me, so let me let me open up the gospel to everyone, not just the Jews. And that was his plan all along. But he had to go to the Jewish people first because that was his people. Does this mean that God, in Romans 11:11, it says, Does this mean that God has rejected his Jewish people forever? Of course not. He has never stopped loving his people. He will always protect them. He will always go on their side. Why? Because till this day, they have kept his word. They've never perverted the Bible. And they always have maintained the rules that he gave them. Of course not. God's purpose was to make salvation available to the Gentiles, and then the Jews would become jealous and begin to want God's salvation for themselves. And you can see that now. Many Jewish people are coming into agreement with Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus being the Savior, the Deliverer. Well, how? Why? Because they're seeing the Christian people loving God, the same God that they love. And they do love God, and they want to serve God. But instead of doing it God's way, they figured out their own way. Amen? Friends, if you want to know this wonderful Lord Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I need a Savior. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. But you know me. You can lead me, guide me, show me that you are my Lord. And I accept you now because I know today that you died for me personally. If I was the only person in the world, you would die for me. And Lord, I accept that, Father God, and I ask you to save me, change my mind, change my lifestyle, and give me a new purpose. And Lord, I receive you as my Savior. And Lord, forgive me for my sins. And Lord, as you forgive me, I'm forgiving other people who hurt me or I might have hurt, Lord. And I give you praise, honor, and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, if you did share that prayer with me and you really meant it, that it came from your heart because you understand the word of God, send me a text. I would love to know that today is your new day of salvation. This is your birthday. If you receive Jesus today, today is your spiritual birthday. You know, I got saved in 1978, and I have never forgotten. I wrote that date in my Bible. And if you write it down, you say, but it's a memory of giving birth. Because when you get saved, you are a new creature. You are born again. And the people didn't even understand that term and when they were going to talk about it. Amen and amen.